Chapter 253, Superiority of Awliya and Their Marvels. Allah the Exalted says, No doubt, verily, the Awliya of Allah, i.e. those who believe in the oneness of Allah and fear Allah much, abstain from all kinds of sins and evil deeds which He has forbidden, and love Allah much, perform all kinds of good deeds which He has ordained. No fear shall come upon them, nor shall they grieve. Those who believed in the oneness of Allah, Islamic monotheism, and used to fear Allah much by abstaining from evil deeds and sins, and by doing righteous deeds, for them are glad tidings in the life of the present world, i.e. through a righteous dream seen by the person himself, or shown to others, and in the hereafter. No change can there be in the words of Allah. This is indeed the supreme success. 10:62-64. And shake the trunk of date palm towards you. It will let fall fresh ripe dates upon you. So eat and drink. 19:25-26. Every time he, Zechariah, entered Al-Mihrab to visit her, he found her supplied with sustenance. He said, O Maryam, Mary, from where have you got this? She said, This is from Allah. Verily, Allah provides sustenance to whom He wills, without limit. 3:37. The young men said to one another, And when you withdraw from them, and that which they worship, except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Rabb will open a way for you from His mercy, and will make easy for you your affair, i.e. will give you what you will need of provision, dwelling. And you might have seen the sun, when it rose, declining to the right from their cave, and when it set, turning away from them to the left. 18:16-17. 15:03. Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhuma reported, The companions of As-Sufa were poor people. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Whoever has food enough for two people should take a third one from among them, and whoever has food enough for four persons should take a fifth or sixth, or said something similar. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu took three people with him, while the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, took 10. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu took his supper with the Prophet, peace be upon him, and stayed there till he offered the Isha prayers. After a part of the night had passed, he returned to his house. His wife said to him, What has detained you from your guests? He said, Have you not served supper to them? She said, They refuse to take supper until you come. Abdurrahman, Abu Bakr's son, or the servants, presented the meal to them, but they refused to eat. I, the narrator, hid myself out of fear. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, my father, rebuked me. Then he said to them, Please eat. By Allah, I will never eat the meal. Abdurrahman added, Whenever we took a morsel of the meal grew from underneath more than that morsel we had till everybody ate to his satisfaction. Yet the remaining food was more than what was in the beginning. On seeing this, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu called his wife and said, O sister of Banu Firas, what is this? She said, O pleasure of my eyes, the food has increased thrice in quantity. Then Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu started eating. He said, My oath not to take the meal was because of Satan. He took a morsel handful from it and carried the rest to the Prophet, peace be upon him. That food remained with him. In those days there was a treaty between us and the pagans, and when the period of that treaty elapsed, he, peace be upon him, divided us into 12 groups, and every group was headed by a man. Allah knows how many men were under the command of each leader. Anyhow, all of them ate that meal. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. There are some narrations in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim with very minor differences in wordings and in details. Commentary. We learn the following points from this hadith. 1. It is permissible to take students of religious schools home for meals, as was the practice in certain areas in the past. 2. A father can admonish his children for disciplinary purposes. 3. If a better situation develops, one can break his vow and go for the new and better choice. It is, however, necessary to expiate for breaking the vow. 4. This hadith affirms miracles. This is evident from the fact that a small quantity of food was so blessed by Allah that all the members of the family, guests, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and 12 Arif, leader, along with their companions, took that food. Gist of the text of hadith from Fath al-Bari, Kitab al-Manaq. 1504. Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, there were muhaddithun, the recipients of divine inspiration, among the nations before you. If there is any of such muhaddith among my followers, he must be Umar al-Bukhari. In Muslim, this hadith is narrated by Aisha radiyallahu anha, and in both these narrations, Ibn Wahhab has said that the meaning of muhaddithun is recipients of divine inspiration. Commentary. Malhamun, persons endowed with inspiration, ilham, in other words, things are put in their hearts by Allah. It was done in the case of the mother of Prophet Musa, peace be upon him. It was put in her mind by Allah that if she felt any fear, she should then trust the child to the sea. Maryam, Mary, also used to receive inspiration, which is also a form of marvel. This hadith evidently shows the distinction of Umar radiyallahu anhu. 1505. Jabir bin Samura radiyallahu anhu said, the inhabitants of Kufa complained to Umar radiyallahu anhu against Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, and Umar radiyallahu anhu appointed Ammar radiyallahu anhu as governor of Kufa in his place. Their complaint was that he did not even conduct as-salat, the prayers, properly. Umar radiyallahu anhu sent for Sa'd and said to him, O Abu Ishaq, the people claim that you do not offer the salat properly. Sa'd replied, by Allah, I observe salat according to the salat of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and I make no decrease in it. I prolong qiyam, standing, in the first two rak'ah in Maghrib and Isha prayers, and shorten in the last ones. Umar radiyallahu anhu said, this is what I thought of you, O Abu Ishaq. Then he sent with him a man or some men to Kufa to investigate the matter about him from the people of Kufa. The inquiry was conducted in every mosque, and all the people in these mosques praised him. But in the mosque of the Banu Abs, a man with the name of Osama bin Qatada and surname Abu Sada stood up and said, Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas did not participate in jihad, and he did not distribute the spoils equitably, and did not judge justly. On this, Sa'd said, I shall make three supplications in respect of him. O Allah, if this slave of yours is a liar and seeker of notoriety, please prolong his life and lengthen his period of adversity and afflict him with trials. And so did it happen. Thereafter, when the man was asked about his condition, he would say, I am an old man afflicted with trials and overtaken by the curses of Sa'd. Abdul Malik bin Umar, a sub-narrator, said, I saw this man with eyebrows hung over his eyes as a result of his old age, and he walked aimlessly, following young girls and winking at them. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith brings out the following 4 points. 1. The distinction of Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas radiyallahu anhu and the fact that his prayers were granted by Allah. 2. The principle that if inquiry is conducted against anybody, one should inquire the opinion of the righteous and worthy people about the person against whom complaint is made. 3. Government officials can be dismissed in the interest of public good, as Umar radiyallahu anhu dismissed Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas, although the complaints made against him were false. But Umar thought it wise to dismiss him so that no one amongst his subject would show hatred towards him. 4. This hadith also proves the correctness of marvels. The acceptance of the prayer of Sa'd bin Abu Waqqas is an instance of it. 1506. Urwa bin Az-Zubair radiyallahu anhu reported, Arwa bint Aus brought a suit against Sa'id bin Zaid bin Amr bin Nufail radiyallahu anhu. She complained to Marwan bin al-Hakam that he had wrongfully taken possession of a portion of her land. Sa'id said, how can I take a portion out of her land while I have heard a denunciation from the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him? Marwan asked him, what did you hear from the Messenger of Allah? He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, saying, he who takes a span of land unjustly will be made to wear 7 earths round his neck on the day of resurrection. Marwan said to him, I don't seek proof from you after this. Sa'id supplicated, O Allah, if she is a liar, deprive her of her eyesight and cause her to die in her land. Urwa said, she did not die till she became blind. While she was walking in her land, concerning which the dispute arose, she fell down into a pit and died. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In another narration of Muslim, Muhammad bin Zaid bin Abdullah bin Umar said that he had seen Urwa blind, feeling for on the walls with her hand and saying, I am ruined by the curse of Sa'id. Later, she fell in a well in the same disputed land and died. Commentary. Sa'id bin Zaid was an eminent companion of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and had the honor of being one from the group of Al-Ashratul Mubashiruna Bil-Jannah. Marwan bin Al-Hakam, radiallahu anhu, was governor of Al-Madinah during the caliphate of Muawiyah, and the incident quoted in this hadith relates to that particular period. After Muawiyah bin Yazid, he remained caliph for some months. This hadith brings into prominence the following points. 1. The distinction of Sa'id bin Zaid and the marvel which came about with the acceptance of his prayer by Allah. 2. One should always save oneself from the curse of the pious people because the punishment can occur in this very life. 1507. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhuma said, my father called me on the evening before the battle of Uhud and said, I perceive that I shall be among the first from among the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, to be martyred, and after him you are the dearest to me. I am under the burden of debt. Pay it and treat your sisters well. Next morning, he was among the first to be killed, so I buried him along with another in the same grave. Thereafter, I did not like that I should leave him with another in the grave. So I dug up his corpse after 6 months, and he was in the same condition in which he was on the day when I buried him, except there was a scratch on his ear. Then I buried him in a separate grave. Al-Bukhari. Commentary. This hadith highlights the following 5 points. 1. The companion's love for the Prophet, peace be upon him, exceeded everything else, even one's own life and children. 2. The companion's ardent desire for martyrdom. 3. The sixth sense of Jabir's father that he would be honored with martyrdom. 4. The miracle that his dead body remained intact and did not decompose even after the period of 6 months. 5. The justification to exhume a dead body in case of need. This permission is subject to the condition that much time has not passed since the burial of the deceased. 1508. Anas radiallahu anhu reported, two companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, left his home in a very dark night with something like lights in front of them. When they separated, each of them had one light in front of him till they arrived home. Al-Bukhari. Other narrations reported in Al-Bukhari say that the two men were Usaid bin Hudair and Abad bin Bishr radiallahu anhuma. Commentary. What was akin to light? Some people say it was their walking sticks, which gave a shining effect in darkness and showed them their way. Some say that it was the light of the prophethood. Thus, it was a marvel of the companions and a miracle of the Prophet, peace be upon him. 1509. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, sent an espionage mission of 10 men under the leadership of Asim bin Thabit al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. They proceeded till they reached Al-Hada, a place between Usfan and Mecca, and the news of their arrival reached a section of the tribe of Hudail, called Banu Lihyan. About 100 men who were all archers hurried to follow their tracks. When Asim and his companions came to know of their pursuers, they took refuge in a safe place. The infidels encircled them and said to them, come down and surrender, and we promise and guarantee you that we will not kill any one of you. Asim bin Thabit radiallahu anhu said, by Allah, I will not come down to be under the protection of disbelievers. O Allah, convey this news to our Prophet, peace be upon him. Then the infidels shot arrows at them till they killed Asim. 3 men came down relying on their promise and covenant. They were Khubayb, Zaid bin Ad-Dathina, and another man. When the disbelievers captured them, they tied them up with the strings of their bows. The third of the captives said, this is the beginning of first betrayal. By Allah, I will not go with you. I have a good example in these martyrs. So they dragged him and tried to compel him to accompany them, but he refused. At last, they killed him. They took Khubayb and Zaid bin Ad-Dathina with them and sold them as slaves in Mecca. this incident took place after the Battle of Badr. Khubayb was bought by the sons of Al-Harith bin Amr bin Nawfal bin Abd Manaf. It was Khubayb who had killed Al-Harith in the Battle of Badr. Khubayb remained a prisoner with those people for a few days till the sons of Al-Harith resolved to kill him. When Khubayb radiallahu anhu got wind of this plot, he borrowed a razor from one of Al-Harith's daughters in order to remove his pubic hair. Her little son crawled towards Khubayb because of her carelessness. Later on, she saw her son on his thigh and the razor was in his hand. She got scared so much that Khubayb noticed the agitation on her face and said, "Are you afraid that I will kill him?" "No, I will never do that," she later remarked after Al-Khubayb got martyred. "By Allah, I never saw a prisoner better than Khubayb." She added, "By Allah, I saw him once eating a bunch of grapes in his hand while he was chained, and there was no such fruit at that time in Mecca. Probably it was a boon which Allah bestowed upon Khubayb." When they took him out of the haram of Mecca to kill him outside its boundaries, Khubayb requested them to let him offer 2 rakah of voluntary prayer. They allowed him and he offered 2 rakah prayer. Then he said, "Had I not apprehended that you would think that I was afraid of death, I would have prolonged the prayer. O Allah, count their number, slay them one by one, and spare not one of them." He then recited these poetic verses. "I do not care how they kill me, as long as I get martyred in the cause of Allah as a Muslim. I received my death for Allah's sake. If Allah so desires, He will bless the amputated limbs of the torn body." Then the son of Al-Harith killed him. It was Khubayb who set the tradition for any Muslim sentenced to death in captivity to offer 2 rakah of voluntary prayer. On that day, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, informed his companions of the martyrdom of Khubayb. Later on, when some disbelievers from Quraysh were informed that Asim had been martyred, they sent some people to fetch a significant part of his body to ascertain his death. This was because Asim had killed one of their chiefs. So Allah sent a swarm of wasps resembling a shady cloud to hover over the body of Asim and to shield him from their messengers, and thus they could not cut off anything from his body. Al-Bukhari. Commentary. Rahd means a group or party. Some people say it consisted of 6 persons. Asim bin Thabit, Marthad bin Abu Marthad, Khubayb bin Adi, Zaid bin Ad-Datina, Abdullah bin Tariq, and Khalid bin Bukair, radiallahu anhum. Some say that it comprised 10 persons. Allah knows better. The incident reported in this hadith has many miracles and marvels. For instance, according to his prayer, the news of his assassination was conveyed by Allah through Wahi to the Prophet, peace be upon him, on the very day when he was martyred, and he, peace be upon him, informed his companions about it. Second, Allah provided Khubayb with grapes when they were out of season during his imprisonment. Third, Allah sent wasps for the safety of Asim's corpse. Fourth, his enemies met with the evil end which he had imprecated for them. This hadith brings forth the following 6 points. 1. If one's enemy shows strictness and oppression, then he should not accept the offer of protection from them, even if he is killed as a result of this. One can, however, try to save his life if he sees some signs of leniency in the enemy's attitude. 2. The matchless perseverance and steadfastness of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and their patience on the tyrannies perpetrated on them by their enemies. 3. Even in the worst of circumstances, the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, i.e. Khubayb, maintained the best standard of morality and did not harm the enemy's child in any way. 4. If the enemy is bent upon killing, then it is permissible to request them for permission to offer 2 rakah of voluntary salat, because this act of Khubayb radiallahu anhu was upheld by the Prophet, peace be upon him. 5. It is lawful to imprecate for oppressors and disbelievers. There are many ahadith on the validity of marvels and miracles, which have been mentioned in the present book in different chapters. The following instances can be quoted in this respect. 1. The incident of the boy who used to visit a priest and a magician. See the chapter on patience. 2. The story of Juraj, which occurs in the chapter on sincerity. 3. The story of the men of the cave, the entrance of which was closed with a huge stone. The chapter on generosity. 4. The story of the man who had heard the voice from the clouds ordering them to shower rain on a particular garden. The chapter on generosity. Many other incidents also come in this category, which are supported by evidence and are well known. Allah is capable of doing everything. 15:10. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma reported, I never heard Umar radiallahu anhu relating anything that he conceived it to be so and so, but that it proved to be as he had conceived it. Al-Bukhari. Commentary. This hadith tells us about the distinction of Umar radiallahu anhu and confirms the marvels which Allah manifested through him. Almighty Allah had endowed him with abundant sagacity and intelligence. For this reason, the Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that if there would ever be a man in his ummah who will be gifted with inspiration, ilham, this man would be Umar radiallahu anhu.